When it comes to our God-given authority and exercising our God-given authority, now we might have some new ones. I'll just kind of briefly talk about that, what authority we're talking about. Adam, when he was originally created, was given dominion over all the earth, over all the animals, over all the plants, everything, over all the earth, everything in the earth. That's unique to man. Not any animals or anything has that kind of charge from God in Genesis chapter number one. But we see that in Genesis 1, but we see Adam lost that. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan's called the god of this world. And when Jesus was tempted in Luke 4, Satan said, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all this, for it has been delivered unto me." People would see that and think automatically, well, he's a liar. It wasn't. But actually, Jesus, the Bible calls that a temptation for Jesus. If it wasn't true, then that wouldn't have been a temptation. I'm not tempted to steal your Lamborghini. You don't have a Lamborghini to steal, so. I don't think anybody here does. Maybe you do. But my point is, that's not a temptation. Something that's, when Satan said, "I'll give this to you if you worship me," the Bible calls that a temptation. If it wasn't, then Jesus was a partner to a lie. Right. Yeah. Calling that a temptation. Yeah. No, that was a genuine temptation. But thank God he didn't do it. But the point I'm saying is that the authority over the things of this earth were delivered to Satan in Genesis chapter number, 3, there where man fell. Genesis, wherever that was, 3, I think. But then Jesus said, when he rose from the dead, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Yes. Yes. Then he said, "You go."
You go.
In other words, in that authority.
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's why it says, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. That's why it says in Matthew 18:18, they're talking about binding and loosing, that whatever we do, that, in other words, he's waiting on earth to do something.
Right.
Whatever is bound on earth,
yes, sir,
will be bound in heaven.
That's right.
People think heaven has to do something first, but he said earth has to do something first. That's just a little brief synopsis of the authority of the believer. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the authority of the believer. And when we think of expressing our authority, we think sometimes in terms, and rightly so, of using the name of Jesus and commanding something to stop, commanding sickness to leave, or something of that nature. And that is a huge part of the authority of the believer, right? But the Lord told me a number of years ago, he said, there's coming a greater revelation of the authority of the believer, and I have been contending for that, and it started to come from me. Now, maybe other people have seen some things that we've been preaching. I'm sure they have, at least I'm in the chandelier, although I might not be the brightest bulb, but at least I'm in the chandelier. So, but I'm just seeing more than I ever have seen, and it's just such a large subject. We could preach on it for 3 years and wouldn't exhaust it. But when it comes to the authority of the believer, sure, binding and loosing in the name of Jesus is certainly a big part of that. But there's so many other expressions of the authority of the believer. I think sometimes we just kind of get narrow-minded on a subject and don't see the whole truth of it. And for example, I like when Mark chapter number 5, whenever they came, remember Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. His daughter was almost, basically dying. The Bible said he was on his way to Jairus' house. And then the woman with the issue of blood interrupted the whole thing. And she snatched the healing, People think Jesus was controlling that. But he didn't know it happened until the moment it happened. It wasn't him controlling that. It was her faith that made her whole. Very clear in Mark chapter 5 that by the time that she was healed, by the time Jesus knew it, I like to say it this way, by the time Jesus knew it, it had already happened.
Amen.
Jesus immediately knowing that virtue had gone out of him. He didn't know anybody was reaching for the power until it had already happened. That means that he wasn't controlling who was healed and who wasn't. That puts holes through a lot of sovereignty doctrine. Jesus said it was her faith that made her whole. Not that it was his will. It's his will for all to be whole. He took all our infirmities and bore all our sicknesses. Amen. Well, anyway, but when that happened, when the woman with the issue of blood interrupted his procession to Jairus' house, they came and reported to Jairus that don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. She died in the meantime before Jesus got there. Well, the Bible said in the Amplified, overhearing but ignoring. Jesus, overhearing but ignoring, he said to Jairus, fear not, believe only. So he heard the report, but he ignored it. That's an act of dominion. I said, that's an act of dominion. Amen. He didn't say overhearing and freaking out. It's too late. I didn't get there in time. I shouldn't have stopped for this healing or stopped for this testimony. So ignoring is an act of dominion. You might not have thought about that, but when Satan's coming and he's yakety yak yak in your ear and you just quote the word and ignore it rather than go, oh, really? Oh, you're walking in your dominion. To not take a thought is walking in dominion. Yes. To not take the suggestion. Satan's the master at suggestions. He'll say something. He'll start get you along, thinking along a certain line. And then he'll say, and you too, you know. You know, maybe he'll remind you of all that Aunt Susie went through. Or Uncle Joe went through. And then he'll remind you, yeah, and remember they always said you look just like him, you know. So you're going to die early, and you're going to, and he's going to make suggestions.
Yes, he is.
But your job is to, even though you heard it, you answer it, and then just turn away from it and ignore it. Amen. So that's one act of dominion. But I want to look at another one tonight. Did you go to Psalm chapter 2?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at verse number 4. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 4. Psalm, chapter 2. The whole book is the book of Psalms, a plural. But this is Psalm 2, 4. People sometimes they say Psalms 2. No, it's Psalm 2. Just like the book of Revelation. It's not Revelations. It's Revelation. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I got a letter down in school about that. In my report, and I said the book of Revelations, plural, and they gave me a letter down because it's Revelation. I thought it was the revelations of all about the Antichrist and the end times. And it says, the very first verse says, the revelation, singular, of Jesus Christ. That's who that's about. In other words, if you know the Christ, then who cares about the Antichrist? You need a revelation. Psalm 2, verse 4. Look, it says, he that sits in the... let's back up. Verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Yeah.
How many of you know that sounds familiar?
Yeah.
That's quoted in Acts 2. Whenever they are... chapter 4, maybe. Chapter 4, where it talks about them being persecuted and commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they're quoting this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth... set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens wrung his hands and fretted and broke out into a sweat and said, they're threatening to kill my Messiah.
That's not it.
What'd he do?
Remember,
they quoted this in reference to not only persecuting and killing Jesus, but also persecuting the church. Remember, Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brother, you've done it to me. So what they're doing to him, they're doing to Jesus, or doing it to the people of God. They're doing to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So he that sits in the heavens did what? He laughed. He laughs. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Oh, my goodness. Now, you know in Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians 1, actually, chapter 21 and 20. Let's go over there. I'm trying to hurry, but let's just get it clear what we're saying here. Ephesians chapter number 1. Bring your Bible to church because we go to the Word. 21 and 22. It says, which he wrought in Christ. He wants us to know this is the prayer for the church at Ephesus, and it's good for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ as much as they were.
Yes.
He said he wants us to know three things. He wants to know the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and so forth.
Yep.
Remember that back there? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You know the hope of his calling. That's the first one. The glory, riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Verse 19.
Yes.
To usward. See, that power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
Who believe, according to the power that wrought him when he raised Jesus from the dead. That power that he raised Jesus from the dead was to usward.
Yes. Yes. Right.
It's because it put him in his rightful place.
Yeah.
But it also was directed to us to put us in our rightful place.
Yes.
We're supposed to be all that redemption has provided.
Amen.
But if we're not walking there, there's power available to put us in our rightful place.
Amen.
To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come.
Amen.
All right. He set him. That power raised him and set him. Now go to chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When's he going to do that? Hath
already.
Means that's an old English word for has already.
Has already.
He's already done that.
Already.
Well, when I get to heaven, won't it be wonderful? Well, if you only knew that you're already raised up to the seat in heaven that he himself is sitting in. No wonder we're called heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that he got in the resurrection, we got. The only thing we don't have yet is our glorified body. So, back there in Psalm, whenever they threatened Jesus and all of that, he that sits in the heavens, that's talking about God, shall laugh.
Yeah.
Well, what should you do if you're in his seat?
Laugh.
You know what that seat stands for? It stands for authority. So what does authority do when the devil threatens? This is a threat, isn't it?
All right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
What's authority do? Does it wring its hands, worry, and be anxious, and call the prayer line and ask everybody to pray because the devil's after me, bless his holy name?
No.
That's a joke. A lady in Brother Hagin's church said, pray for me, the devil's after me, bless his holy name. She was trying to say bless the Lord's name, but she said bless the holy. She's called the devil. You know, anyway. Amen. So if you're seated with him, what should you do? At all these things that Satan, he's trying to tell you, I'm going to kill you. You're not going to have the money for rent. You know, you're going to have this problem. You're going bankrupt. You're this. You're going to lose your mind. You're getting squirrely in your mind. You feel that pain. You're going to die prematurely. That's cancer. That's what that is. See, the devil is the diagnoser. He'll tell you what everything is. But see, you don't listen to what if he calls it something, you know it's a lie.
Exactly.
So, if you're sitting in a place of authority, which you are, then you should laugh. Now, yes, you should answer what he says. The Bible talks about Jesus answered the devil and said unto him. But, and answering is an expression of authority. Isn't that right? Our authority is the Word of God, the written Word of God. If God's Word says we're redeemed from something, and Satan says, yeah, but you have this, then we answer that with the higher authority, the Word of God. Our authority is the Word of God. But we don't do it, you know, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. That sounds like faith, but it just doesn't ring true. You know what I'm talking about? It sounds, the words might be words that a person of faith would speak, but it has anxiety with it. All real faith is done with joy. With joy.
That's good.
Your faith is not fully expressed because you say something.
Right. Come on.
Your faith is expressed whenever all the expressions of faith are involved in your faith. Your faith can be partly expressed by words, but until you mix actions with it, or you mix joy with it, you're not really fully expressing faith. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Full faith is not something that sounds like anxiety.
Right. Come on.
Oh, we're just praying. We're just praying. We're just. You got more anxiety in that.
Seriously.
You got more anxiety in that. It'd be better for you not to pray.
Exactly. Just keep your mouth shut. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, not right to pray. No, it's not right to pray in worry. Prayer is not a worry session. Telling God all about everything that's going wrong. Oh, he already knows it.
Yes.
Your name's not Gabriel, the announcing angel. Announcing everything that's going on. Did you know, devil? Talking to God. Did you know, God, that they're laying people off down there at the job? I'm just so afraid they're going to lay me off. Lord, I'm just praying they don't lay me off. He's probably up there saying, just shut up. I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but sometimes I do wonder if he's not saying,
Come on.
Just shut up. It's not faith.
It's not. That's right.
Come on.
It is not faith.
Prayer is a place to cast all your care on the Lord.
Yes.
And let me add a little bit to that and just go ahead and get giddy.
Yes.
Say, oh, I'm going to see a miracle. God's going to take care of me. Woo.
Amen.
I like what somebody said one time about prayer. They said, prayer is like a mirror on the earth reflecting back to God what he said. I like that. You're not reflecting to God everything the devil said. You're reflecting back to God what he said.
Yes.
That's honoring God.
Yes.
Amen.
I remember Charles Capps one time said the Lord said to him before he learned to pray. He said the Lord said to him one time, I wish you'd just stop telling me everything the devil's telling you.
Amen.
That's not edifying. Anyway, when God had a serious, I mean, this is a serious situation. The Messiah being taken out before, you know, not finishing his course, not finishing his assignment to redeem us. And they threatened in all this, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. And not only, because God knew the plan was that he'd be crucified, but they thought they were doing away with the Messiah when actually they were planting a seed. They thought they were doing away with this one anointed, running, running demons off and sicknesses off and setting the bound man free and so forth and so on. And then, that's the first time anybody had ever been on the earth setting people free like that. So, and so they're like, we're getting rid of this guy. The demons held a board meeting. And they concocted a plan. The board meeting started out, by the way. I got a little copy of the board meeting notes. Here's how it started out. We're all here today because we're not all there. You know what I mean? Not all there. Because the Bible said, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They were just playing into God's hand. I can almost hear God laughing and saying, I don't think this is recorded in the Bible, but we'll see when we get to heaven. Maybe he said, ha, 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 go ahead, make my day. This is possible. I don't know. Praise the Lord. I think he created Clint Eastwood. He probably gave Clint Eastwood that part, right? Amen. So, what if you're like God? The Bible said, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as dear children.
Yes.
Children, watch how parents act in tests and trials. Yes. You ought to watch your father. How did you act in test that your worst test and trial? How did you act? He said, I laughed.
Come on.
He said, I knew the end of the story.
Exactly. Amen.
And that's what James said. James chapter 1 verse 2. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse trials, tests and trials. Why? Knowing this. Because of what you know. 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 You know something.
Amen.
And so you just start, ha, ha, ha.
Exactly.
Like the t-shirt said, the devil said what? And there's a bunch of people laughing. If you're laughing, that means you don't believe it. That's what we're talking about. If I told you, let's say I walked up to Matt here and I said, Matt, don't move. Don't move. Right behind you. 1 foot behind your heel. There's a snake about to bite your foot. Bite your ankle.
Don't let it be a snake.
If he goes, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah.
That means he didn't believe it.
Yeah. Come on.
Right?
Yes.
But if he goes, yeah, that means he believed it. Can you see how it sounds to God when we're going, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed? It sounds to God like they don't even believe it.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
But thank God I got the word. I know he already took my infirmities and bore my. That sounds like somebody believes it. Amen. Devil says, I'm going to kill you before you turn 37.
Yeah, right.
Ha, 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 ha. That's got to be intimidating. Pastor Nancy tells a story of a pastor who had an experience in prayer one day. He said, I don't know, he's going through some sort of test or trial or something. He was talking to God about some things. And he said he had a vision, and a demon stepped up in the vision and made a suggestion about how it was going to turn out.
Yeah.
And he answered it. He's the man of the word. He answered it with the word because it wasn't his. The demon's suggestion wasn't in line with the word.
Right.
So he answered it.
Yes, sir.
And another one stood up,
yep.
Made some suggestion, and he answered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said he looked, and there's in the vision, there's a whole line of demons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all had suggestions they were going to come make. And the third one stepped up. And when the third one stepped up, he said something so crazy, so off the wall, that the minister that was seeing this vision started laughing.
Yeah.
Started laughing at him. And he said, when he started laughing, all the demons fled. And the vision disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he asked the Lord, this pastor, I believe it was a pastor, asked the Lord about the vision. He said, why did they leave when I laughed? Yeah. And the Lord said, they're so full of pride that it's embarrassing to them to be laughed at. Well, ha, ha, ha. I mean, the devil's defeated.
Yes, he is.
Greater is he that's in me, than he that's in the world. Greater is the word of God in me than the suggestion of this little defeated one. Be like an ant walking up to me. I say I'm walking down the sidewalk. And I walk, there's an ant. He looks up at me and says, I'm going to eat you whole. Would you go, oh, I better back up. No, you just take another step. It's called treading. Tread. 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 Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joy is how you tread on the enemy. Not going, oh, I'm going to take this step. No. If you do that, you're not going to have the money. Amen. I like that sound, don't you? Now, if the devil makes a threat or a suggestion or something of that nature to you, and you're not laughing, it's because you've got up off of that seat. I don't mean that we have to be walking around laughing all the time, but I mean if you're not expressing joy. If you're not expressing rejoicing. Thanking God for his word. Thanking them that it's so. Ben, you've gotten up off of that seat. Come on. Don't let the devil get you up off of your seat. Which seat? Far above.
Far above.
Far above. All principalities. All principalities. Hallelujah. Don't come down on his level and begin to reason and, you know, let him talk to you and let's think about this. No. No, you just laugh at him.
Yes.
Hold him in the arena of faith, but do it with expressions of joy. Amen. So what do we see? You read Ephesians 1 with chapter 2, verse 6. We're seated with Jesus. You read in Psalm chapter number 2, verse 4. He that sits in the heavens laughs. We see that. So then what do we know? That in this seat, we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing in the already accomplished victory over our enemies. Now go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I think sometimes people say, well, I'm believing God, they ought to notify their face.
Yes, thank you.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
we use church lingo that we've learned. But we're believing God. We're really believing God. But there's no real faith in that. There's more fear and anxiety. Look here in 2 Corinthians 2:4. Did I say 2:4? 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Whatever you're going through right now is in always. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, if you read that together, notice that last statement, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Read that with Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 10 in mind. Put that together. Look at Ephesians 3:10. We're going to go back and forth here for these two verses and just let you see this. Ephesians 3:10 says that God, if you read the context, you could just paraphrase it by saying the intent, King James here says the intent, to the intent that now the context of this is our redemption.
Yes.
He redeemed us to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The Amplified says through the church.
Through the church.
The manifold wisdom of God. Now the wisdom of God sounds like, you know, being able to make good financial decisions, and of course that's the wisdom of God. But the wisdom of God here is the whole plan of redemption that Satan didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know.
If they had known, they would not have fallen into that. They fell right into the plan of God. Because they thought they were destroying and removing this anointed one from the earth, but they just were planting a seed, and Jesus would come out of the grave and he would multiply.
Come on.
All of us. He brought many sons to glory. Many sons to authority. Treading on the enemy. The thing they greatly feared came upon them. The devils.
That's right.
It came. Jesus came out of the grave and he started multiplying people with authority and power over the enemy. But the intent was that we should make known to these forces of darkness, principalities and powers of forces of darkness, to make known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now listen to the Amplified here. We're going to put this together in a bit. He said, the Amplified, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities. Those are the fallen angels, not the angels of God. Principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere.
Right.
In other words, his purpose is to make known to these forces of darkness the wisdom of God, which was the plan of redemption, which made us free from Satan. You follow what he's saying here? And we're to demonstrate that. He said we're to make it known. God makes it known through the church. God reminds Satan daily through the church, through you and I, that he whooped him. The devil's wisdom is not that he's defeated. He walks around acting like he's not. But trying to tell you he's not. He's big, he's bad. Remember at the end in the book of Revelation, they're going to say, Is he that deceived the nations? This little wee worm, wimp guy? He's a zero. One translation says he reduced him to zero. Brought him to naught. Brought him to zero. But he didn't let you know that. Satan won't tell you that. I just always think about Saddam Hussein because it was a time where I was very involved in watching what was going on in that war, and we defeated. We burnt his behind.
Yes, sir.
He's in a hole in the ground hiding.
Yeah. Come on.
That's how bad he was defeated. But he put out a news report to all of Iraq. We won. They're all leaving.
Come on.
That's just like the devil.
Yep. Yep.
The devil was defeated, but he'll never tell you that.
Yep. Come on. Come on.
But he is.
Yes, he is.
That's why you walk by revelation knowledge, not sense knowledge.
Yep.
Whenever you're laughing, you're laughing because of what you know, because of revelation, not because of what you feel and you see and the devil's saying.
Amen.
The devil's bluffing. He has been dealt a losing hand. Just like in poker, a guy can be dealt a losing hand, but he keeps a straight face. You never know it by looking at his face. You've been dealt a winning hand. You've been dealt the authority of the believer.
Amen.
And he'll sit over there and bluff and bluff and bluff and bluff. But you know, see, not only does the word reveal the hand he dealt you, the word reveals the hand God dealt to Satan. And you know he's already lost. If you're playing a game of spades, you know, any card in the spade suit will trump any other card, right? Even if it's a one, right? Am I right? It'll trump anything in the diamonds or any other suit. So you've been dealt, you've been dealt the winning hand. He didn't just deal to every man the measure of faith. He dealt to every man the authority of the believer, the love of God, the power to get wealth. He dealt to everything you can think of. He dealt you the winning hand. And he dealt Satan the losing hand. And he might sit over there and bluff and bluff and bluff and bluff and say, ha, ha, ha. He might laugh at you, trying to get you intimidated to accept defeat and break down in unbelief and say, I don't know why I always. No, you got to know the truth.
Yes, that's right.
And the word reveals that truth to you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. He can sit over there and bluff, but you just throw down your trump card.
Yes.
Amen. Let me tell you your primary trump card. It's joy. It's really faith, but it's expressed through joy. My brethren, count it all. James 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your what?
Faith.
It's your faith that you must hold fast to and not let it be taken away from you. But he said the trying of your faith worketh patience. So he's talking about persevering in faith and expressing that faith through joy.
Amen.
Even whenever the devil's huffing and puffing and threatening and, you know, making all sorts of lying suggestions to you. Has he ever told you you're not going to make it?
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. What has it been now? Only 30 years I've been making it. So, anyway, let's put these two verses together. I got off of that a little bit. Let's go back here. He said, this knowledge, this, remember 2 Corinthians 2:14, he makes manifest the knowledge by us in every place. What knowledge is he talking about? Ephesians 3:10, it's the knowledge that Satan's been defeated.
That's right.
You are supposed to, you walk in victory every day in every area. Yeah. That's demonstrating to the enemy every day the knowledge of his defeat. That's reminding him every day.
Every day.
When you get up in the morning, say, thank God for the victory today.
Come on.
Woo, greater is he that's in me than he. The devil. You're just announcing to the devil.
Exactly.
And then you walk in that victory. Yeah. You're demonstrating to him today again. Again. Another experience today.
Come on.
Reminding me that I've been whooped.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So you should just remind him every day. Don't ever give him, don't ever give him a break.
Thank you. That's right. Let him know.
That's right.
I've had times in my life where, you know, he got one over on me.
Yeah.
But I got under the blood and then turned around and whooped him again. Said, I'm not gonna live that way. That's under the blood. Now I won't live like that again.
Amen.
And I remind him every single day.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah. So, but don't just remind him pacing the floor, remind him with joy. Ha 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 ha.
Amen.
Joy is an expression of dominion. Hallelujah. Now, listen to, this is 2 Corinthians 2:14, but it's in another translation. It's called Coney Bear. C-O-N-E-Y-B-A-R-E. But God be thanked who leads me on from place to place in the train of his triumph. Leads me on from place to place in the train of his triumph to celebrate his victory over the enemies of Christ. So, he leads us. Let me read that again. Leads me on from place to place. We can make this our confession. In the train of his triumph. Boy, there's more here than I have time to get into. But kings would defeat, and back in that day, kings would defeat enemy kings, and they would take all their prisoners, all their soldiers, prisoners captive, and then strip them of all their armor and parade them through their own capital city, stripped of all their armor, sometimes even stripped naked. And it was a triumphing victory over their enemies. And we're celebrating. We're in that train of his triumph. Celebrating his victory over the enemies of Christ. We're with him celebrating his victory because his victory is our victory.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Come
on.
Ha ha ha. Praise be to God. Notice that word celebrate. Amen. Say celebrate. The word dictionary says to observe, to celebrate means to observe a day or commemorate an event with ceremonies or festivities. Yeah. What are we observing? What day are we celebrating? The resurrection day.
Yeah.
What event are we celebrating? Whenever Jesus kicked the enemy in the head. That's a prophecy in Genesis fulfilled. He will bruise, the enemy will bruise his heel. But he will bruise the enemy's head.
Yeah, amen.
How do you get a bruise in the head if you didn't get kicked in the head?
Well, all right then, come on.
No wonder we're all here because we're not all there. I'm not trying to make fun of the enemy. I'm wanting you to see who he really is. So that's the day, that's what celebration means, to observe a day or commemorate an event with ceremonies or festivities. It goes on to say, the English dictionary goes on to say, to celebrate means to have or participate in a party.
Oh, yeah.
Or an uninhibited good time. That's what we are. That's what we do when we come to church. Victory is mine. Victory. The devil says it is not. You know what you did this morning. You go, whoa. Celebrate. Not celebrate what we did, celebrate what he did.
Yeah, amen.
So what Jesus did for you doesn't work until you mix celebration with it. Or you could say mix rejoicing with it. I know the word said, but watch your butt. Watch your butt. Why does he have to say that? So you won't ever forget it. The next time you say, I know, but, well, I remember what Pastor said. I better watch that. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't see it. Faith comes before seeing. That's what we've been learned. All these years we've learned. We walk by faith, not by
sight.
We don't wait till we see to rejoice.
That's
what God told him at Jericho. Walk around it 6 days, one time. Seventh day, walk around it was the sixth time. Then on the seventh time, shout. Blow a trumpet. Woo! Why? Why? Because he has already given you the city. The walls are up, but they're shouting. They did it before they saw. Ooh, my. I said, that's what faith does. So here's the whole Bible. I got my iPad with my Bible in. Here's the whole Bible with all that Jesus did for you. Yeah. Somebody said, but nothing's working for me. Of course not. You have to just add celebration.
Yes.
You know, there's certain things you buy at the store. You got to add something to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you go get, I'll just pick something, hamburger helper or something, you know. You get it out of the box and you say, thank you, Lord, for our food. Amen. Oh, ah. You got to add water. Boil the noodles. You got to put the meat into it.
Please, yes.
But there's a lot of people that are dry. They have dry Christianity. Yeah. It's boring and it has no taste.
No taste.
That's because you got to add the Holy Ghost bubbly. You got to add the Holy Ghost bubbly. I'm talking about the new wine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So your whole life is to just be one continuous victory. I don't mean Satan won't attack. Oh, he will. But just when the dust is over, ha, ha, ha. The Amplified of 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us as in triumph, as trophies of Christ's victory. Trophies. What is a trophy? Let's say we got together, whatever, volleyball team or a baseball team or something here at the church. Yeah. We competed with other churches in town or whatever. And we got the trophy.
Yeah.
If you were... If you didn't get, let's say, what was the Super Bowl, whatever it was. I don't even hardly know this stuff anymore. Yeah. But the team that won.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear anything about all the game and you... turn on the TV to watch the end celebration, and you see who's holding up the trophy.
Yeah.
You don't even have to know the game. You just know who won.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
We are trophies of Christ's victory. Our lives that used to look like sin, look like any old sinner's life, look just as bound, just as oppressed, just as tormented in our minds, just as broke, busted, and disgusted. Our lives that used to be bound by sin, we couldn't overcome sin.
Come on. Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about? But they've been so transformed.
Yes. Amen. Glory.
Amen. Doesn't mean we're perfect. That just means we're a lot different than we used to be. We're a new creation in Christ. The love of God shed abroad in our heart. Where we used to get offended, now we walk in love and forgive.
Amen.
That's a transformed life. And you know what that says to everybody that sees it? Jesus won. He defeated the enemy. They are a trophy. They are showing everybody that wants to see it. Jesus defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. So keep getting this knowledge of your authority and that Satan's been defeated and so forth, because if you're not, if every day is not a day of victory, that just means keep getting this knowledge. Keep getting this knowledge. Keep working this truth into your spirit until it is more real to you than anything the enemy's throwing at you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so expressions of authority come in the form of celebration and rejoicing and joy. Hallelujah. Wow. There's a lot of things that prayer can't replace. There's a lot of things that can't be replaced. That authority will fix that nothing else will fix. Let me say it that way. People are applying prayer to something whenever it needs authority applied to it. Prayer is requesting God to do something. Whenever there's a lot of things that He's already given us authority to declare. That's what Mark 11:23 is all about. Whoever you shall, whoever shall say. and unto this mountain. You're not talking to God. Uh-huh. This is not prayer. Prayer is talking to God. This, in this case, you're talking to the situation. Yeah. He calls it a mountain, but it's a type of, you know, whatever's big and looming in your life, trying to block your progress.
Yeah.
And he's saying, talk to it.
Yeah.
That's not talking to God. Yeah. Talking to God about it is not what he's talking about there. He said, talk to it.
Yeah.
People don't do that because they don't think of that they have any authority.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
They think God can do something, so they're asking him to.
Yeah. Come on.
Right?
All right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
So there's things that prayer won't fix.
Yes.
There's a place for prayer. We pray.
Yes.
Next Wednesday night, we'll be praying. But we just have to understand where prayer fits and where this authority fits, and not try to use one tool in the toolbox God gave us to fix something that it's not designed to fix.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So you're going to count, your faith is going to be tried.
Yes.
You start walking with God, your faith is going to be tried. Things are going to oppose you, even oppose you finishing your race and so forth and so on. But this that we're talking about here tonight is how you leap over everything that tries to get in front of you.
Amen.
It's how you just squash it and just jump right over it. It's called joy. Paul said, I'm going to finish my course
with
joy.
Joy.
In other words, without joy, I'm not going to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can't keep on going if you're not strong enough to keep on going. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Copeland made this statement. With prayer, you... I wrote it down here wrong. I guess I'm not sure how he said about prayer. With prayer, you receive promises. That's what he said. But he said, with praise, you win victories.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Praise, joy, rejoicing.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
There's a different tool in our toolbox for each of these things. So really, joy is a weapon.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what they used at Jericho, Joshua 6. They used that weapon of joy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's going to work. How would you know? You never tried it.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
How would you know? You know?
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
That's what God used in Psalm chapter number 2.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's how he won that thing.
That's right.
By rejoicing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, wouldn't you have liked to have been in heaven when that happened?
Yeah.
I just know that room, that went all through heaven.
Yeah, you know it did.
The throne room itself. All through heaven. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Maybe we'll get to see a video of that, huh?
Yeah. Praise God.
Now, go to Psalm 8:2. We're going to wrap this up here. There's just a few things that joy will do for you. Psalm 8:2, out of the mouths of babes and unweaned, this is the Amplified, unweaned infants, you have established strength, perfected praise, is what Matthew 21:16 translates it as, because of your foes, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. Somebody said, the devil's just talking to me. Why don't you silence him? How? Matthew's interpretation of this, or Jesus actually said how this is supposed to be written, perfected praise.
Perfected praise.
Praise silences the enemy.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Silences the voice of the enemy. Silences the suggestions, the threats. Let's turn that on. Let's turn that around and look at it this way. It silences, really, if you think about it, the voices of the enemy. But take the voices of unwillingness, disobedience, the suggestions you don't have to do what God told you to do. You need to deal with that.
Yeah.
You can shut that down. I've had that come to me. I've had, no. Remember, I told you what I learned on Highway 44. I was going down the road. And I said, Lord, I wasn't saying anything, but I was grumpy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is after a year of traveling, first year of traveling in the traveling ministry before we came to pastor. I'm driving up from Tulsa up through Joplin. We were going up into further up there, but we were going up from Tulsa to Joplin right there in Oklahoma's Highway 44. And I was going up there. I was grumpy. First week of the new year. First trip of the new year. And I'm grumpy, but I didn't think I was grumpy. I know I wouldn't have told anybody I was grumpy. But the Lord told me. He said, you're angry at me. I didn't say anything. Debbie's sleeping in the car. I'm driving. He said, you think I knocked you down a notch? And boy, he just in on me. Three seconds before that, I had not told you I was angry at God. Boy, how many of you know he knows how to put his finger right on something? And he did that day. And he was dealing with my lack of consecration to his will and my unwillingness and my grumpy attitude. How many of you parents, something just goes all over you when your children do something with an attitude?
Yes.
It's called righteous indignation.
Got it.
Why? You want them to do it with joy. Because you want them to remember you provided this house for them. You pay the bills. You buy the groceries. You even buy their little diapers. You buy everything they need. And I ask you to do something and you get grumpy? Just doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah. Come on.
Right? Well, how many of you know God's done everything he's done for us?
Yes.
And he asks us to do something, we're like, that's what he's putting his finger on that day with me.
Yeah. All right.
What I learned, I read a book, What I Learned on Highway 44. And that voice can be silenced.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord told me to silence it.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, you're right. I started repenting. And I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, remember what he told me to do? You holler out loud, as loud as you can. I delight to do your will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I said it.
Yes.
And then I decided I'm going to say it again.
Yes, yeah.
And the third time I said it, and something broke on the inside
Come
of me.
On.
And the joy of the Lord started flowing. I started rejoicing, and I got past unwillingness.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Nobody here's ever dealt with unwillingness.
Oh, please. Come on.
They want me to ask, they are asking me for what other department to help in?
Come on.
Well, we all thought that was about Pastor until you said that, Pastor Jay. Joy oils the wheels of obedience.
Yes.
It just keeps them going real good without any squeaking and screeching and noises. You didn't get that. Obedience with complaining and grumbling and, you know, I'm such a victim, noises means we're not doing it with joy. You need some oil. Get rid of that whine. Get rid of that screechy, that grating sound.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 12, verse 3. We're almost done. Isaiah 12, 3. With joy, you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. Woo. Praise God. Inside of your spirit are some things that need to be drawn up. And you can draw those up with joy. Well, I've been praying, Pastor. Why don't you start rejoicing? That's how you draw it up. Faith is the rope. It's like the bucket. You know the old time, you know, crank well buckets. You know, you can crank a well bucket down. Faith is the rope. But a rope without a bucket is not going to get anything.
That's so true. That's so true.
You can let down a rope into a wet well, or most wells are wet, you know. So that's but you can let down a rope. You let down that rope, you're not going to get any water. You put a bucket on the end of it, you're going to draw some water out. So don't just try to, you say, I'm believing God. You're not going to get any water out of the wells of salvation that way. Put a bucket on the end of that
bucket.
Thing. What's the bucket? Joy.
Joy.
Woo! Woo! What you're doing, dripping down in there. Oh, there's direction for what I need to do. There's the answer. What's the next step? Here it is. You didn't draw it out with worry, and you drew it out with joy. I'm having a good service. So James 1:2 says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. That sounds like a decision, doesn't it? That means we decide that this is pure joy. You got to put your attention on the right things, or you'll live most of your life unwilling and get no rewards for it. Praise the Lord. So experiencing the joy of the Lord is the result of a decision to draw it out. Circumstances don't have any joy in them. You know, work, bad circumstances, don't have any joy in them. But you're not looking to them as your source of joy. Amen. Your source is inside of your spirit through the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the flesh never will, you know, enter into that. You have to do it out of your spirit. Remember that story I told about a man in healing school? Well, he was an usher. I think he was an usher of some caliber. But one day, I don't know what was going on in my life, but some situation where I was didn't want to rejoice that day.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever been there.
No.
So I'm talking to some people over there, and I looked out, and I saw this one particular usher coming. He's almost jogging, but he's just having a good... He's coming, and he's always... This guy is always rejoicing.
Yeah.
I mean, just, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I'm having one of those days I didn't want to rejoice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe this about Pastor Jay, but I saw him coming, and I said, I'm going to go back into the book area where they store these books they sell, and I'm going to pull the door shut. So he doesn't see me because I don't feel it. How many of you know your flesh never wants to rejoice? I've come a long way since that day. Nowadays, when my flesh doesn't want to rejoice, I say, hey, let's go find somebody that just... But that day, and I did, I went and hid, and I thought about myself, look how stupid you are, how foolish you are, how fleshy you are, being in here where you're not going to be around anybody that wants to rejoice today.
Seriously. Come on.
That's bad. Yeah. See, the flesh is that way.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't like faith.
Right.
It doesn't like faith.
Yeah.
Joshua and Caleb were talking faith, and the rest of them wanted to stone it. Remember that?
Yeah.
Let's stand to our feet. What does joy do? It gets you over your flesh. Gets you over your flesh. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, we're in a victory celebration. Well, that's not been my life. My life's been hard. Yes, because it's with no joy.
No joy.
No joy.
Come on.
You have to stir it up.
Yes, sir.
We have already won.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Summerall told a story. He said, I don't know if you remember that story. Well, there was a couple of people that he ministered deliverance to. Remember that woman in the jail that was bitten of devils, but she was set free. But there was another girl that would actually disappear. Demonic manifestation. She would just disappear under demonic power. Oh, this is over in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And he was called to the situation. The people told him about it. I think it was some family members. Or something. And he went there and cast the devil out of that girl. And that never happened again. But he made a movie out of it. The story. Told the story. Like a documentary, you might say. Of the story. Dr. Summerall was that way. I mean, he just put it out there, you know. And he made a documentary out of it. And he was going around showing this to everybody. How this girl was set free. And he ran into people, Christian after Christian after Christian, everywhere he went to these churches. And they said, oh, I'm not going to come see that. They were scared of the devil.
Oh,
I don't want to see that.
Wow.
They didn't know who they were.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And this is the way Dr. Summerall answered him. He said, you know, the battle's already over.
Yeah.
This is the victory celebration.
Yeah.
He said, you're even scared of a victory celebration. The battle's already over.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's amazing.
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to get involved with that. That's devil stuff. Well, this is a victory celebration.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I don't want to stir myself up too much. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God. Then he said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. In other words, he's not giving you. You're not afraid. Don't be afraid to stir.
That's right. Amen.
Well, if I just really start rejoicing, the devil might smack me real hard.
Well
he might, but this is the way you get through it.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. If we were scriptural when somebody took off and ran around the church, we wouldn't say, man, they must have had a good week. We'd say, well, the Bible says count it all joy when you encounter diverse distress. So they must have had a rough week. I think I'll rejoice with them.
Yeah, amen.